Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I in the land will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. In many respects, this is a strange and wonderful episode in Abraham's life. An episode in which the patriarch, his faith is tested, and in many ways it could be a puzzle as to why God would act with his servant in such a way. What kind of God asks a father to sacrifice his own son? What kind of father would consider doing such a thing? And what kind of son would be willing to lie upon an altar without resisting? There are many things in this narrative that we have before us today that we could consider with much blessing and good. There's a lot of things that could be said about the history and the circumstances and even the geography, about the timing of these events and those involved. There are lots of lessons in this passage, had we time to dwell upon them. Some things we know, but a lot of things we don't. But in the end, the real wonder in this strange incident in the life of Abraham is the picture that it supplies of what we call substitution. The fact that Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, but God provided a ram to be sacrificed instead. The ram became the substitute for the son. And that is the enduring picture that we have before us in this passage. Substitution. The ram being slain in the place of Isaac. We should say that while the text tells us here that God did tempt Abraham, the use of that word tempt ought not to suggest to us bad or negative things. Certainly, the Lord God does not tempt his people to sin. That is the devil's job. He is a tempter. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ and he tempts the people of God. But it is God's trying of Abraham's faith that is before us here. And God will test and he will try and he will prove the faith of his people. He will prove that it is genuine. He will prove that it is real. He will give opportunities for us to act out the faith and the trust that we have in him and in the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, it would be an easy thing for us to say, oh yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus, if we were never called to act upon that belief. It's an easy thing to say, oh yes, we believe in God, if we never have any needs or any trials or any difficulties or any problems. But it is in the problems and the difficulties, even in the persecution, that we prove our faith and that our faith is strengthened. And this is the picture that we have before us here. The Lord God tests his people, tempts them, if you like, in order to deepen our trust, supply our needs, and teach us things about himself. And as with all scripture, we read it and we study it with an eye to the Saviour, Jesus Christ. For it all points to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not far from our view in this passage. When I was a little boy, this passage was a favourite of my grandfather's. And he often used to speak about this. And he would read these verses and then he would pass on some thoughts on this passage. So I've been looking for the Lord Jesus in this passage and in these verses for a long, long time. But the first thing we can say about this looking for Jesus in these verses is this, that Isaac himself is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac was the son to Abraham, and he was loved of his father, and he was the heir of all that his father possessed. And in this sense, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He too was the son of a father who loved him, and he was heir and is heir of all things. And also it's a picture of God not asking Abraham to do what he himself was not willing to do. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. That here was Abraham being told to go and sacrifice his son, which is exactly what God the Father did when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world in that great covenant purpose to lay down his life to redeem his people from their sins. Isaac did not die that day at the hand of his father, because God indeed did provide a ram, and the ram took the son's place. But in a very real sense, the Lord Jesus Christ did die under the knife of his Father's judgment and wrath, and by the sword of his justice. Because Isaac was a picture of the reality. And to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ came and laid down his life, we see there a beautiful picture of substitution. The ram was caught in the thicket by its horns. And I think that that's a nice picture of the Lord Jesus Christ too. It was provided by God. Nobody went and captured the ram. It was caught in a bush. It was caught in a thicket. But God meant it to be used as a substitute for the Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ there died for his people on the cross. Caught by its horns is an interesting thought, because it's wool. Sometimes you see when, or sometimes around here anyway, we see sheep getting caught up, maybe on a piece of barbed wire or in a bit of a swampy area or in some bushes. And very often that sheep can become torn. It wriggles so much, it squirms so much, it pulls so hard trying to escape that it cuts itself and it bleeds and it tears itself on the thorns or on the fencing. But this ram was caught by its horns. Its wool wasn't torn, its flesh wasn't cut. Nothing torn or bruised. It was a perfect substitute, a perfect redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ was our perfect substitute when he died on the cross for us. I just want to touch on one final thought as we leave this verse today, this passage. It may well be that Abraham was called the father of the faithful. And it may well be that Abraham's faith was such that he believed God's promise that Isaac would be his heir, despite those things which God now required him to do in the sacrifice of his son. If Isaac was to be the heir, Abraham reasoned, then it would be impossible for Isaac to die. Or at least if he did die, he would have to be raised again from the dead. And that is a very interesting thought, because in the New Testament we hear some things about that which I think are interesting. And it may well even be that Abraham received some sort of vision, some sort of insight and understanding about the Lord Jesus Christ's own death on the cross, there as he stood at the top of that hill where God had directed him to. Why would I say that? Well, for two reasons. One is the place where Isaac was put upon the altar was the land of Moriah, the mountain of Moriah, which is the very same place as Jerusalem's temple is built. So it is very likely that this was the same place, or very close to the place, where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And I do believe that the sadness of Abraham's trial to the old man was mitigated by a sight and a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's why I say that. There are two references in the New Testament. One is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, and it says this: Abraham accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that God was able to raise Isaac back up from the dead. That is wonderful faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 8, 56 says this, your father Abraham, he was talking to the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, rejoiced to see the day of Christ's glory. And he saw it and was glad. Do you think perhaps that is a reference to the fact that Abraham saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming in his glory, coming there to the cross, and understood the significance of the substitution that took place? We could talk about Abraham's faith. We could talk about Isaac's awareness of what was happening. We could talk about the amazing voice that came from heaven as God spoke. But the real message is the message of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ taking the place of his people and dying for them, shedding his blood and washing away their sin. There was no substitute for the Lord Jesus. He was the substitute. He was the Lamb of God that died. May God the Holy Spirit give us eyes to see our substitute as clearly as Abraham saw the ram. And may we have cause to rejoice as Abraham rejoiced when he saw that God did indeed provide himself a lamb. Amen.